Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs and chapter 16, verse 31. As our congregation has been working through this book of wisdom, we've come to chapter 16, and you might have noticed we ended our last sermon on verse 15, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit here, realizing that we need to pick up the pace a little bit, and also realizing that some of these, as we said earlier, Proverbs is a lot of repetition because these are lessons that we don't catch on the first go-round. So I'm kind of skipping over some sections where we've largely covered the lessons already, and these are more review. I encourage you to read these on your own, and I'm trying to still work taking chunks and finding particular themes that the book gives to us. This particular passage, so we'll start in chapter 16, verse 31, and read down into chapter 17, verse 6. You'll notice that the first and the last verses in this section deal with the glories of old age. And that's not a topic we've touched on yet in this study. So brace yourselves, right? The glories of old age. Let's listen to what God's word says to us. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. A wise servant will rule over a son who causes shame and will share an inheritance among the brothers. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. An evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. He who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. And there we'll end the reading of the Word of God, and we'll ask that the Lord bless it to us as we study it together this morning. Well, I've asked the children today to draw a picture of what they want to be when they grow up. And I probably asked you to do that before. As you think about that, children, I'm wondering how many of you are planning to draw a picture of yourself with white hair or maybe no hair if you're a guy, maybe a cane, with grandchildren around you. My guess is that's probably not the first thing that comes to mind when you think about what do I want to be when I grow up. You might think about what kind of education you want to get, or what kind of job you want, or a house you want to live in, or who you want to marry. Those are the kinds of things. But usually we don't think about being an old person. But in fact, realize, children, you would not be alone in this, because the adults here also try desperately to push out the thoughts of growing older. That's sort of something that we tend to dread. And yet, in this passage, we're told that being an old person is an honor and a blessing, and that we need to look at it that way. So while we want to push thoughts of growing older out of our minds, this passage is encouraging us to think about growing older in a particular way. So, and we'll get to this in a moment, but the passage doesn't just extol getting older, but it extols getting older with wisdom. And so we need to actually plan for and have goals for growing older and what kind of people we're going to be. And recognize that if you want to be a wise older person, you have to start working on that now. Right, so children, again, and other people here as well, you're not going to hit your 18th birthday and suddenly wake up on the morning of your 18th birthday and say, "Whoa, I am now old and wise." Right? But the same thing is true on your 60th birthday and on your 80th birthday. It doesn't just happen because the calendar moves over another year for you. It's a process of learning that's going on throughout your entire life. And so the challenge of this passage this morning is that we ought to aim to be wise older people. That should be our goal, to aim to be wise older people. And do this knowing that this is a blessing from the Lord that He gives to us through Jesus Christ. That God promises this blessing of being a wise older person to us through Jesus Christ. So you can see, if you'd like to follow along in our outline that's in your bulletin there, that the first thing we'd like to notice from this passage is that we ought to make it our aim to become a wise older person. We see this in the first and the last verses of our passage. Verse 31, the silver-haired head is a crown of glory. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory. And that word crown of glory, it's a term that means honor. And in the original language, it's actually a crown of beauty. And some of your translations say splendor. But here the idea is that having gray hair, and I think some of us don't have much hair at all. I think it's the same idea, right? That signs, physical signs of getting older are a sign of honor, meant to honor us. Now, we don't view it that way, right? We're saying, I'm getting less and less hair as I grow older. I've got hair growing in places it's not supposed to grow, right? It's fatigue. It's difficulties with my hearing. Eyesight is not as good. Wrinkles are appearing in places they used to not be. I'm slower than I was. So how can Proverbs say that the signs of aging are actually a sign of glory? And it isn't just here. I put in the bulletin there, Proverbs 20, verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head. And this is what the Bible's claiming, is that these things are actually signs of honor. At the end of the passage we read in 17:6, right, this brackets this passage. Children's children are the crown of old men. That having grandchildren is a sign of honor for old folks. And it's obviously not just old men, it's old women as well. The second half of verse 6 in chapter 17, and the glory of children is their father. There's something interesting going on here, because it's telling us that old age is something to be honored, both by us and by others, and both in our lives and in the lives of others. Telling children that their father is their glory, right? It points children to this fact that there's honor in your parents, in their age and their wisdom, especially if you're here and your parents are Christians and your parents are bringing you to church. You have parents that deserve honor from you as a special blessing from the Lord. Bruce Waltke, commenting on this, says, and this is also in your outline, instead of viewing old age as a time of physical weakness and decline, this unit views it as a time of authenticity, status, and dignity symbolized by a crown. And so we, rather than dreading aging, need to view it as a blessing from the Lord. But there's a caveat here, and if you go back to the second half of verse 31, it says, if it is found in the way of righteousness. So the silver hair is a crown if it's paired with righteousness or wisdom, which we said are used synonymously in the book of Proverbs, because wisdom is ultimately a moral quality. It's not just about knowing things. And so the wise person who is old is one who is to be honored. Now, I've heard it said by older members of this congregation that growing old ain't for sissies. And there's a lot of truth in that, because as we grow older, we lose our faculties, right? And our health, we have challenges in our health. We have less freedom sometimes of movement. It's harder to get around. We have fewer opportunities sometimes for service because we aren't able to get and to go wherever we would like. Sometimes we lose loved ones and friends. I remember when my grandparents were getting near the, and they were up in their 90s, and they said, you know, it's difficult. All our friends are dead, right? It's tough to keep relationships when you live past a certain point. And we should realize that our society doesn't value aging much. In fact, the global anti-aging market is something like $50 billion a year spent on things that are supposed to keep us from aging. So exercise programs, surgery, Botox, supplements, special diets. We'll do anything we can not to age. And some have described our current society as a cult of youth, where youth and being young or acting young, even if you're older, are valued and almost idolized. One of my friends, when he first was out as a pastor, preached on this passage, and he made a real strong statement about if anyone's dyeing their hair, that you're committing idolatry, right? Trying to hide your gray head of hair. And then it turns out his mom, who had been dyeing her hair for years, listened to the sermon online, and he realized that was a serious mistake. I don't think the point here is that you can't do anything to not look like you're growing older. But I think the point is, do we make an idol out of being younger, or do we embrace what God's word says here, that growing old in the Lord is a blessing, and that we should treat it as such, and that God frees us up to embrace a growing older. I just had a birthday yesterday, and at one level I'm saying, another birthday, right? I can't believe another birthday. On the other hand, what's the alternative though? Right? If you stop having birthdays, that's not good. So recognize that the Bible treats long life as a blessing from God. And so anyone who is around long enough to start acquiring some gray hair and signs of aging is a person who's received a blessing from God in that way. And when that's paired with a relationship with God and biblical wisdom, that is truly a wonderful blessing. A number of years ago in our youth group, we had some of the older folks from the congregation come in and speak to the youth group just to tell us a little bit about what it was like when they grew up and what some of their experience. And what a profound blessing that was for the younger people just to hear about the lives of some of the older saints in our congregation. And we really do need to hear from the older folks in the church. We need to hear their stories of faith and perseverance and endurance and trusting in the Lord. We need to be, as younger people, eager to hear those stories. And for the older folks, we need you to be eager to tell us these stories, because it's a tremendous blessing for us to have your example lived out in front of us. So while Billy Joel sang that only the good die young, right, the Bible has a very different perspective. And of course, right, not every righteous person does live to be an older person. But we should see that as a blessing of God, that He allows us to grow old with wisdom. Now, as we continue looking at the passage, it helps us understand what does it look like to be a wise older person. So the second thing we want to see is that wise older people have learned self-control and trust in God. And we see this in verses 32 and 33 of chapter 16. So verse 32, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty." That's counterintuitive to us, right? The one who can control his temper is better than the mighty warrior, the soldier. In fact, the second half of that verse helps us understand what's in view. "He who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." We have a nice synonymous parallelism there, right? So the one who is in control of his or her emotions and anger and it has himself or herself under control is better than a person who conquers an entire city, right? So it takes some strength, it takes some bravery, it takes some good qualities to conquer a whole city. And what this is saying is that it's a greater strength, a greater power, a more worthy strength to control ourselves and to have ourselves in hand. That in a sense is the highest kind of human power. And this is because, as James tells us in James chapter 1 verse 20, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Right? It doesn't. And having ourselves under control is a wonderful sign of aging in wisdom. Now, the verse 33 helps us understand how we are to think about these things. This is a well-known verse. The lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. And this harkens back to the time in Bible history before Pentecost, by the way, when the Holy Spirit is poured out on all believers, when God used to give answers to questions and things through the throwing of a lot. So you could cast a lot that sometimes was a stone with different colors on each side, and it would be like us rolling a dice or flipping a coin. And God actually answering questions through that way. We don't do that for information anymore, but the point here is that even things that look random, right? Like when the football team goes out and they flip the coin to decide, you know, who's going to get the ball first and all that. It looks random, but God's in control of even those things. Down to the tiniest minutia in your life is under God's control. And so you see how these two verses, 32 and 33, fit together. Because if you believe what verse 33 says, that God controls everything, even the things that seem random to us, then if you really believe that, you're able to live like somebody who's described in verse 32. Someone who can trust in the Lord and not become angry, not try to take the world into his own hands or her own hands, but can live with faith in God. And that's a sign of aging with wisdom. Now, I know some of you saw on TV that the old basketball coach here, Bob Knight, returned to Assembly Hall for the first time in 20 years. He'd been estranged from the university, and he was there a couple of weekends ago when we got shellacked by Purdue. I don't know if there's any connection there or not. But as Coach Knight was there, and a lot of his former players, maybe over 50 former players, it was quite a sight. And here's a man who was an outstanding basketball coach. He was an outstanding disciplinarian. He was a philanthropist and gave to support the school. But he was not a wise man in any kind of biblical description. He did not have good self-control, and he did not trust in God. And I thought it was striking that even, it was very emotional watching this, and it was good to see him back. But one of the players who was interviewed later said, they asked him, you know, what the coach was saying, and he said, well, as always, you can say what the coach said, but you can't use the words that the coach used, right? That's true even now, right? You can't, and that's because it's going to be profane if you use the words that he used. And I think about how much celebrity a person like that gets because they were successful, right? They were mighty in a certain situation, context of coaching, versus what the Bible is saying true graceful aging looks like. I remember when Lena's mom, Ruth, fell and broke her hip. And it turned out to be the event that led to her death. I think we were out there when she was actually being picked up by the EMTs, and fascinating, right? In that time of uncertainty and pain, to be at some level calm, still knowing that the Lord is on His throne and that the world is under His control. And that's powerful. And someone who's walked with the Lord for decades, continues in faith all the way to the end. And that's what this is talking about. And we have wonderful examples in this congregation of people who've worked faithfully, who've been faithful in their marriages, who've been faithful in this congregation, and have served God over decades. That's a true sign of grace. And anyone who can do that for the long haul deserves to wear a crown, right? That's a splendid crown. So wise older people have learned self-control and faith. Thirdly, wise older people have learned to order their priorities properly. We see this in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 17. Verse 1, better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. So children, you understand what it's saying here. Better to have one little crust of bread to eat, and that's it, if there's love and harmony and joy in the house. And really, this is a way to say that having peace within the home, having children who love each other and get along, having children who listen to their parents and obey, having a husband and wife who love one another and respect one another, this is better than anything. That's what it's saying. When it's saying better to have a dry morsel and peace than to have feasting, a house full of feasting with strife. That's what it's saying. It's saying that is more important than anything else you can have in your home. So children, it's more important than whatever food you have. It's more important than your clothes or your electronic devices or your video games or your toys. Better than all that is to have peace in the house. Paul says it this way. Now godliness in 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment is great gain. Far more valuable to have godliness with contentment. And notice the connection back to verse 32. It's one of these better than proverbs. So the person who has internal peace is better than a great warrior. And this is saying a family or a household that has peace is better than one that has all the wealth and prosperity that it could possibly have. Now verse 2 gets at the same idea, but just in a slightly different way. Verse 2, a wise servant will rule over a son who causes shame and will share an inheritance among the brothers. So this is talking about character and wisdom and saying even a servant of the house, if that person has character and wisdom, that person will rise above the natural children in the home. And of course, there's no law. You can't find a law in the Old Testament that says that should happen. This proverb is just stating a fact, which is that your character and who you are in terms of what you do is more significant than what situation you're born into. And so again, right, biblical priorities are different than the world's priorities. And this is what the proverb is telling us. Wise older people have come to understand this. They've come to understand peace in my home is more important than prosperity. And they've come to understand, as this is saying here, that character and wisdom is more important even than the circumstances of your birth. And recognize how we live in a culture that's telling us we should evaluate people by their external characteristics, right? That we don't evaluate people on who they are or what they do. We evaluate them on their skin color or their sexual orientation or whether they're a man or a woman, and trying to force us to look at everybody through these surface characteristics rather than the character. And the proverb is saying no. The servant who is a wise servant rises higher, is better than the one, the child born in the family, who is a fool, who doesn't follow after wisdom. Now, I know some of you are familiar with the P.G. Wodehouse stories about Bertie and Jeeves. And they're humorous stories about Bertie Wooster, who is a wealthy man who is constantly making bad decisions and getting his life into chaos. And Jeeves, who is the servant, right, who always figures out a way out of it. And as one of the commentators I was reading said, it's funny when it's fiction. The problem is it's not really that funny when it's real life. It's not a great situation when it's happening in the real world. And we have to be very careful about letting our priorities and our thoughts about these things be dictated by the world. As Paul writes in Romans 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to constantly go back to God's Word to have our thinking framed by the Word of God, which tells us peace and harmony in the home is the highest value, and that inner character is more important than external circumstances. And as you grow old, you should be learning this more and more. worrying about, concerned about the relationships in the family more than the bank account, for example. This is a sign of wisdom. And you children, and we said before, you're not going to wake up one day and say, oh, I'm an adult now. You need to be practicing for this all along your life. And I think one of the ways you children practice this is by learning to give to the work of the church. So as you may do chores or have an opportunity to earn money, as you give back to the work of the church, and as you try to keep the Lord's Day, I realize your parents probably have something to say about the way you spend your time on Sundays, but as you become more independent and you commit yourself to keeping the Lord's Day, what you're doing is saying to the world, I don't live according to your priorities. I live according to God's priorities. And as we do that, right, we're preparing for a lifetime in which our priorities are set by God's word and not by our culture. So wise older people have their priorities ordered by God. Now, fourthly, we see here also that wise older people have learned to be honest and compassionate. So we see this in verses 4 and 5. Verse 4, an evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. It's been observed that sins of the tongue usually require at least two people to engage in. So you don't have to necessarily be a gossip, but if you like listening to gossip and if you give a forum for others to engage in gossip, you're guilty in this regard. And this, the Proverbs reminding us is that we struggle with sin in these areas, we're often drawn to other people who struggle in these same areas. And so we can be the kind of people who would not protect the reputations of others, or people who would not keep confidences as we should. And this is one of the things that is something that wise older people display. They keep confidences. They're trustworthy. They protect the reputations of other people. Verse 5 says, he who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. So again, there's a compassion and a love for those who are needy in the wise, whereas those who are not wise mock the poor. And as it says here, are glad at the calamity of others. We're not to be people who look at disasters in other people and celebrate those. And I have to confess, right, watching the Democratic primary in Iowa, it was hard not to violate this principle, right? There was a little bit of rejoicing at the utter debacle going on in the Democratic primary. But the Bible's telling us we aren't to rejoice in the disasters that befall others. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 12, verses 14 and following, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. And this is what we do as we become more wise. We love even our enemies. And the reason we do that is because we want to see them come to know the Savior, just like we do. We recognize that the only reason we have a relationship with God is because He was compassionate to us. That there's not one of us who deserves to be in a relationship with a holy God. But God was merciful and compassionate to us. And that's the only reason we have eternal life. We have spiritual life. And we should desire then to see others around us also come to know the Lord and to experience that compassion and that grace of God. And so this is a wonderful opportunity for those who are older, right, that we grow in our understanding of what it means to be honest and trustworthy and what it means to be compassionate and caring for those around us. And this is one of the reasons we think our discipleship program at the church is so valuable, where we've tried to pair older and younger believers. And that's not necessarily an age difference. It may be a spiritual maturity difference. But the idea is for spiritually mature to come alongside and to encourage others. And what a tremendous opportunity. And if you're not in that program, but you're interested either as a mentor or a mentee, please let me know and we will try to arrange for that. Because it's an incredibly powerful thing to have older believers who understand, in this case, what it truly means to be trustworthy and compassionate, mentoring younger believers and encouraging us in our service. So wise older people have learned to be honest and compassionate. And finally, I think this text tells us that wise older people exist because their hearts have been renewed by Jesus Christ. Where do these wise older people come from? Verse 3 tells us, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. And here describing God's work of testing our hearts like a smelting operation, right? You have to heat these metals up to around 1800 degrees Fahrenheit to melt them. And then the person working with them, the metal worker, is going to turn these precious metals into liquids. And you can look into the liquid and see if it has impurities or not, or if it's pure. And this is the language of testing, that God is the one who can heat up your life sometimes so high that in a sense it will reveal what's in your heart. So it's testing it in that sense. It's showing that the heart is genuine. And of course, if we evaluate ourselves on what we've just been saying about the wise person values old age, doesn't dread it, right? Has learned self-control, trusts in God, is honest, is compassionate. We recognize, I don't want my heart heated up and tested as to whether I really exemplify all of those characteristics, because I don't, and I know I don't. And so this passage only makes sense to you in light of the gospel, which is that God gives us a new heart in Jesus Christ. This is the only way we can be righteous before Him. He's the one that gives us a new heart. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And how did Jesus give us a new heart? Well, Jesus came into the world, and He didn't even live to be an old man, right? He died in his 30s. He didn't live to have the glorious crown of silver hair, because he was giving his life for you and for me. He never had children. He never had grandchildren. And yet the Bible said he was perfectly faithful in all of these things we're talking about. He loved the elderly as he should have. He had perfect self-control. If ever a man had reason to be angry, it was Jesus. And Jesus never got angry in a self-centered, sinful way, ever. He was always under control. He was always living by faith in his Father. He always had his priorities dictated by heaven and lived according to those. He lived with perfect honesty and truthfulness. And he showed compassion. And because he did those things perfectly, people like us who don't do those things well have a Savior, have one who takes our sin away and gives us his righteousness. He's the one. He's the one, the only one who can create wise people. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Jesus is the one who makes wise people. Elderly people, just like he makes wise younger people. I would say over the 25 plus years that I've been a part of this congregation, that the backbone of our church's prayer ministry has been, for this entire time, the older folks among us, the gray hairs among us. And some of them aren't here anymore. They aren't. But whatever anyone asks me about how the Lord revived this congregation, which is an amazing thing he's done over several decades now, I always say part of this was a commitment of people in the church to pray. To pray and to pray and to keep praying. For this ministry and for other ministries. And those people, if you come at 4 p.m. on Wednesday, you're going to see the same people, the ones that are still alive. They're still praying. And if you come at 9 in the morning on Sunday morning, before we get going with Sunday school, you're going to, again, find some of the same people praying. It's an amazing picture of what this passage is telling us. That for those who are wise as they grow old, their old age is a splendid crown. A splendid crown that they receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who makes wise people. And He's the one calling you to make it your aim to be an elderly, wise person. Be one who seeks to live by His priorities, who has self-control and trust and honesty and compassion. And that starts today for each one of us. Make it your aim to be a wise, older person, knowing that God promises that blessing to those who are in Jesus Christ. Let's give Him thanks in prayer. Heavenly Father, we confess that because growing old does have challenges, we readily imbibe the ideas of our culture that growing old should be dreaded, that growing old should be avoided at all costs, growing old is the worst thing that can happen to us. Lord, we pray that You would help us to hear what Your Word is saying to us today, that growing old as a believer is a crown of glory. Lord, it's easy for us to say that. It's hard for us to believe it. Help us to believe it. How we thank You, Lord, for the wonderful examples we have in our midst today of men and women who have grown old with wisdom and who embody these principles. And we pray that would be an encouragement to all of us to honor the older folks among us, but to seek to be those growing into older people who are wise. Lord, we ask that You would help us to encourage one another in this. We thank You so much that the Lord Jesus Christ came and wore a crown of thorns so that we could wear the splendid crown of old age. And we ask that in Him we would grow in our wisdom and our love for Your truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we'll respond back to the Lord by singing once again. This time we'll sing from Psalm 37, selection C. This portion of Psalm 37 begins, "Steps a man takes are established by the Lord for his delight." And God guides us for God's delight. "If he stumbles, he'll not fall down, but by the Lord's, his hands held tight." And then you see there in verse 25 of the text, "Though once young, I am quite old now, yet throughout the life I've led, I've not seen the just forsaken, nor their children begging bread." Here's a person in old age testifying to the goodness of God, walking in faith and in self-control and in peace because God has been gracious. Let's stand and sing our praise to the Lord.